Hello and welcome, everybody. The Hughes and Hill podcast is back. I'm here with Lawrence Hill. And with the NBA season beginning next week, we decided that we were going to talk a little basketball today for the first time this year. And Lawrence, you want to highlight maybe a team or two that you expect big things out of this season?
Yeah, with everybody talking about Miami and how they're going to fall off so much this year and the big hype around Cleveland with LeBron going there and the healthy Derrick Rose, I wanted to highlight the Charlotte Hornets, who picked up Lance Stephenson quietly after his stock sort of dropped after the incidents in the playoffs. People questioned his character. But they have a solid roster. They have a low post score. They have Al Jefferson. They have Marvin Williams, who was showing that he can stretch for that corner three. And they also have two capable guards in Kemba Walker and Stephenson to create offense. So I really think they'll be a dynamic threat in the East.
Well, Kemba Walker and Lance Stephenson is certainly one of the best backcourts, not only in the East, but in the entire league in terms of pure talent. The main gap you see with their starting five, you have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at the three. I don't know if you've seen, but he's completely revamped his jump shot. It looks completely different in comparison to last year. So we'll see if he's able to become at least a reliable mid-range shooter. Either Marvin Williams or Noah Vonleh, if one of those guys can step up at the four, I legitimately think that Charlotte really can be a top five team in the East. I don't think anyone's touching Cleveland. We'll get to them in a minute, but I don't see any reason Charlotte can't even be better than Chicago.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Just the creation of the offense you can create from the low post. You've seen Lance Stephenson running pick and rolls. You know Kemba Walker can run pick and rolls. The shot volume between Walker and Stephenson, hopefully it doesn't get a little cluttered like the Monte Ellis and Brandon Jennings backcourt that they had.
Yeah, Kemba is a shoot-first point guard. There's no doubt about that. And Lance Stephenson is certainly going to want his shots now. And Al Jefferson needs to get his shots.
Yeah, to get early.
As he's one of the best centers in all of basketball. So if they're going to be successful, he's going to have to continue to do what he does on the block. But I think it's an exciting time for Charlotte fans with the addition of Lance Stephenson and, of course, becoming the Hornets again. I think they're going to register more so than they were when they were the Bobcats.
Yeah, definitely that shot volume is something to look out for, though.
They do lose Josh McRoberts. And we're going to transition to that. We're talking about the Heat. Josh McRoberts, now a member of Miami. And what are your thoughts on Miami? Of course, obviously, they lose LeBron, but you return Dwayne Wade, you return Chris Bosh, and you add Luol Deng. What are your expectations of them for this season?
I know any team led by D. Wade is going to be competitive. I expect him to really, he's kind of taking a backseat to LeBron these last couple years. I really expect him to step up and him and Chris Bosh to really showcase why they were number one options and why the big three was such a big deal before they came in and LeBron kind of took the shine from them. But a big year from Luol Deng will be the key, I believe, to how far Miami is able to go, because he can lock up that wing and he can stretch the floor, and they have Danny Granger behind them. So it'll be interesting to see how they're led by Bosh and Wade and what they're able to get from that three spot with Granger and Dang.
Yeah, I think for Dwayne Wade, it depends what you get out of him. If you get the last year's Dwayne Wade who had trouble putting a full season together full of consistent play, I think this is a team that may struggle to get into the top five of the Eastern Conference. They should be able to make the playoffs with Chris Bosh, with Luol Deng. I like the Josh McRoberts signing. And Dwayne Wade, at the very least, is going to be able to give you 15, 20, and probably 40 to 50 good games. So in a weak Eastern Conference, they should make the playoffs. But I've seen people talking about them like they can still be a legitimate threat in the Eastern Conference, and I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I don't see how they're better than the Wizards, and I really don't see how they're better than Charlotte, to be honest.
Yeah, you can go hand-in-hand with seeing how Charlotte would compete with Miami, but I think with the chemistry that they have and the winning culture, I think, like we talked about, the shot volume with Lance and Kemba, like them feeling that out and getting used to each other is something that the Heat won't have to have, and have Eric Spoelstra consistently coaching them over the years. So I feel like the Heat should be a top five. Definite.
Miami does have that continuity. They also have one of the best coaches in the entire NBA with Eric Spoelstra. You know they're still going to defend. That's not going to change. Adding Luol Deng, you're not going to lose a ton. You're obviously going to lose something with LeBron, but speaking strictly in terms of defense, Luol Deng brings definitely one of the better perimeter defenders in all the entire league at the three spot there. So, in turn, the big thing, the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, LeBron going from Miami to there. In my eyes, I'm finding that this seems to be either or. A lot of people think that Cleveland is definitely going to be a sure bet to win it. Others are kind of sort of skeptical from what I've seen as to how long it's going to take for these guys to get used to playing with each other. My opinion is in the Eastern Conference, they're going to win 60 games, and I don't see how anyone as could beat them in the East.
Yeah, I would actually second that notion. With Kyrie running the point, you got LeBron, you have Deion Waiters as a fourth option, Kevin Love stretching the floor. Like, they have so many options and like to be efficient on offense, and they all can space the floor and so much ability to create offense. I see it very hard to see them not outscoring many teams in the NBA. Defense is going to be a question, how they mesh, how Kevin Love works in there. Not the best defensive player, but Kyrie even showed that he can defend in the Olympics, hustling on defense and taking a less prominent role, sharing ball handling duties with LeBron James. I feel like he'll be able to show some effort on the defensive end, too.
Kevin Love is obviously a question defensively. I'd like to see Kyrie do it for the course of an NBA season. Mm-hmm. I think playing with LeBron and now the spotlight sort of on him more than it ever has been in his entire career, I think you will get more effort from him defensively at the very least. That is a question mark. But as you said, these guys got corner shooters. You had Mike Miller. You had James Jones. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ray Allen. We'll see. But on the other drive and kick game with LeBron and Kyrie, they're going to have shooters all over the floor. Don't forget about Matthew Dellavedova off the bench. Mm-hmm. He should be the backup point guard. He's not a bad player at all. So this is an insanely deep team. Anderson Varejao returns. You know you're going to get
hustle.
You know he's going to be more than happy to not get one offensive play run for him the entire game. But he's just going to be happy to be playing on a contender again in Cleveland and with LeBron. And then I like what Tristan Thompson's role could be on this team. I like it a lot. An energy guy off the bench. He's not going to be asked to do anything but dunk and block. Was he picked too high at the four spot? Yes, but now this is going to be a perfect role for him on a team that's going to be a contender and not going to be asking for him much offensively. I think this team really just works out perfectly, and I think they're that consensus or the heavy favorite to win the Eastern Conference. Yeah,
a lot of people are saying Chicago should compete with them, but I definitely would agree with that. The Cavaliers, just that offense just looks to be so efficient. So we're going to see how it progresses throughout the season, but I project 60-plus wins, and I feel like the majority of people who look at it would agree with that.
With Chicago, I mean, Derrick Rose himself, obviously an unknown. You don't know what you're going to get out of Pau Gasol. If Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose, I think they should win 50 to 55 games very easily, but I don't think they can beat Cleveland in a seven-game series.
Yeah, not in the series, but Paul Gasol, like, with the whole Dwight Howard thing and, like, with Kobe and, like, playing behind all those guys and not being an option like he was when he first came to L.A., like, I really think Paul Gasol playing with Joakim Noah to light a fire under him inside, I feel like that is a really, really intriguing thing to watch, that Chicago Bulls front line. That's really going to be something I really want to see.
Yeah, and playing next to Joakim Noah, too, will take a lot of the heat off Gasol, and he's going to be able to just do what he does on the basketball court offensively, you know, pick and pop type of guy. He's not going to bang with anybody. He's not going to be a great defender, but playing next to Joakim Noah, who is going to do all those things, allows him, you know, at his age, to just play within himself and do what, you know, he does best on the basketball court.
Taj Gibson as well, big-time defender, hustle guy. So I feel like the energy would be contagious in there.
Taj Gibson and Pau Gasol next to each other are really perfect. Your perfect compliments at the power forward position.
Yeah.
So I like Chicago to win 55 games, but I mean, when you're talking about Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Kevin Love, and then the shooters that they have around those guys, I don't see how Cleveland doesn't win the East. I mean, Chicago could get the one seed just on based on Chicago being familiar with each other and, you know, the same coach coming back for however many years now. But I like Cleveland to take the East. We'll get to finals picks in a minute. Moving on to the Western Conference. I think this could finally be Oklahoma City's year. They're obviously going to have some tough competition. A lot of teams in that Western Conference, it's certainly the varsity conference of the NBA, as some might like to put it. But there's a couple teams in the Western Conference that may be finally to take that next step and surprise some people. You want to highlight one of them?
Yeah, I want to highlight the New Orleans Pelicans. They have a lot of backcourt talent. They have Anthony Davis, fresh from really showing that he's a legitimate NBA presence and international presence in the international competition that he really shined in. They bring in Omer Sheik, who showed that he was a defensive anchor in his time replacing for the Bulls. So I really think with Drew Holiday, Eric Gordon, you got Tyreke Evans, you got legitimate playmakers who can create shots for those big guys in there. And then defensively, they can hold down the paint. And then Drew Holiday and Tyreke can defend their positions pretty well. I really think, like, from a complete team standpoint, the bench doesn't look as deep, but you rotate those guys in right, and they have the offensive and defensive talent to really, I think, impress a lot of teams in the West.
obviously, I like New Orleans' talent. This is what I question. I question this starting five and the lack of shooting that they have on it.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Holiday, Eric Gordon, Tyreek Evans, Anthony Davis, and Omar Sik. The only really real shooter that you have in that group is Eric Gordon. But there are some things you can do, moving some guys around, using different types of rotations. They do have Ryan Anderson on the team, one of the best three-point shooters
in all
the NBA. They have Jimmer Fredette as a backup guard. We'll see what Austin Rivers can do this year. He was better last year than in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll take a next step and be a solid NBA rotational guy this year. I do like their backup center, Jeff Withey. I've liked him ever since he was at Candace.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a team that could definitely surprise. Here's another team. I'm probably going to be wrong here, but I pick them every. I feel like I pick them every year. I was picking Golden State every year, and they finally eventually surprised. How about Sacramento?
Oh, boy.
They lose Isaiah Thomas, and that's a big loss. They replace him with Derek Collison. That's a huge downgrade. But you have,
I would say huge, but he's a downgrade.
I think it's a significant downgrade.
Yeah.
We'll get DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay, Ben McLemore, Nick Stauskas off the bench. I think this is a team. Obviously, it's the Western Conference, so they're going to have potentially a tough time. But I like what they have at point guard with Collison and Sessions. That's a decent 1-2. It might be tough in the Western Conference and the area East. I think they could probably have a better chance of making the playoffs. But I think everyone's waiting for DeMarcus Cousins to take that team to the next step, or to at least to be a playoff contender, at least be 500.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like Rudy Gay. I want to see him. He has a couple good seasons with the Grizzlies, not really being an offensive efficient player, but more so one-on-one. Seeing how he can create offense with some of these other guys, if he's able to do that and play make a little bit, I feel like they had a talent around him with Nick Stauskas shooting. You have the two-point guards there that can create shots. So I think they have a shot to maybe get in that 8 seed possibly.
They're going to need McLemore to take the next step. They're going to need Rudy Gay to be efficient, and they're going to need DeMarcus Cousins, already an all-star caliber center. Mm-hmm. They're going to need him to raise it just another notch. They do have Reggie Evans over there.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to compete for the playoffs, the West just so deep.
Yeah, Collison and Sessions, though, that's a good solid 1-2 at point guard.
I don't like that they gave up Isaiah Thomas. I don't.
They lost him, but that's a solid 1-2.
Okay, so Sacramento, they could potentially fight for a top 8 seed, but elsewhere in the West, I mean, it's the usual suspects pretty much. San Antonio, you got to figure they're going to be right there again. Age is going to hit them at some point. We'll see if this is the year where, you know, in Oklahoma City, which comes back, of course, Kevin Durant hurt. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise, though. Maybe he's more well-rested towards the playoffs, and he's able to finally get that ring that's eluded him for the past three or four seasons. The Los Angeles Clippers, do you like the Spencer Howes edition?
I like the Spencer Howes edition. I think they needed another big body in there to offer a little bit more versatility, because all you see is DeAndre and Blake in there dunking. You know, just some more offensive versatility. Chris Paul will make use of him very well. And you bring back that same cast with Crawford and Redick. So I feel like they still have a great offense. Defensively is what Doc Rivers takes pride in, you know, with those Boston teams. So if they can focus down and really lock down defensively, I think they have a shot to get past the OKCs and the Spurs this year.
They changed their backup point guard. Do you like this one? Darren Collison for Jordan Farmer. They have Jordan Farmer now.
I've always liked Jordan Farmer.
I watched Jordan Farmer a little bit because so many Lakers games were on TV last year. I watched quite a bit of Jordan Farmer, and after going over seams, he seemed to be a much better basketball player. It's going to be a different feel with him in that second unit offensively versus Darren Collison. He's more of a methodical, bring it up, set yourself up in the half court.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Collison's a rapidly playing, you know, all the time, constantly on the attack type guy. But I do like the Jordan Farmer signing. I think the Clippers are a legitimate contender. I really do.
Yeah, I like Jordan Farmer back when he was getting the rings with L.A. When he'd come in off the bench, he'd hit a three, get a couple contested shots in there. So, like, I really thought he can bring something.
I think he's made himself into a legitimate good NBA rotational guy, and I really do like both of those signings, Howes and Jordan Farmer. Before we get to the picks, we have to talk Detroit Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts going into this year? Personally, I'm optimistic once again. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. What do you think?
Well, I say I'm glad that we brought some shooting in. Definitely glad that we brought some shooting. Josh Smith reportedly understands that he doesn't have to take as many threes now because they have shooting. So hopefully that's something that's consistent throughout the season. But we still have a solid front line. Defensively, we can hold our own. We can match with those bigger bodies, with those stronger front lines in the NBA. And we have the shooting. So if Brandon Jennings can be mature and run the offense, we got DJ Augustine who stretches the floor and can run the offense. So I really think that we have the tools to be a solid team all the way throughout and get us maybe 6-8 seed in the East.
Yeah, obviously it's very early, but Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings both seem to be buying in. I think The problem that I read, I've only seen one preseason game so far. Only one preseason game has been on TV. Mm-hmm. But the problem that I read that Stan Van Gundy has right now is Brandon Jennings has been too cautious in passing up jump shots. So obviously that's not what you want, but I think it's a step in the right direction versus taking the quality of shots that he has been he took last year, not only last year as a Piston, but in the years prior throughout his career in Milwaukee.
Jennings is the type of player that considering how active he has been getting his shots since coming into the league and the low percentage that he's shot since he's coming to the league, it's almost better that he would be tentative on some of those shots because he gets to shooting them all game and those mid-range jumpers and those pull-up threes. And I think we have some shooting. I think it'd be nice to see him share the ball this year.
A couple things with Jennings. I think one thing you have to take into account in regards to his shooting percentage last year, that offense almost was stagnant a lot of the time.
That's true.
And a lot of the time he was forced into taking bad shots at the end of shot clocks, and that obviously decreases that field goal percentage big time. And I think really he did try to buy in last year. If you watched early in the season,
he had
a couple, 10 to 15 assist game. He had a few of those, but as the team kind of slid, as they lost more close games and guys kind of started checking out effort-wise, he kind of started reverting to bad habits. So I think he knows the talent that's around him. Josh Smith is still a very good player. Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond are arguably the best young front court in the league. I think you'll see a Brandon Jennings. He's shown time and time again that he is capable of being a distributing point guard.
Yeah, he's going to be the key for the Pistons. Him and Josh Smith. Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings' efficiency offensively, the field goal percentage numbers that they're able to put up, I feel like that'll be the key for the Pistons this season because we had a shooting, and if they can be efficient, they can really be good offensively.
Got to get Jody Meeks back from injury, and Caldwell Pope injured isn't something that's going to linger, and you hope the improvements that he's shown not only in the NBA Summer League but in the preseason are both here to stay. Because if they can get improved perimeter play from guys like Caldwell Pope, obviously Jody Meeks is a guy who can score in this league. He's shown that before. This is the team that I might be overly optimistic here, but I really think this is a team that can get a top five seed in the East if everything goes right. And I think Stan Van Gundy has the potential to get the most out of this roster.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Top five, that's a big claim.
It is. I think the only team that's for sure going to be better than them is Cleveland. I think obviously Chicago if Derrick Rose stays healthy. Washington probably, Charlotte probably, but I think the Pistons, with the talent they have in the rosters, I really think they have an opportunity to win 45 to even 50 games if everything goes right. I don't think it's crazy to say that they can be within that range.
We'll see about that.
So getting to picks, we'll go with the East first. Who do you got coming out of the East?
Coming out of the East, it's going to sound very bad, considering how LeBron has left Miami and went to Cleveland. But I actually think the Miami Heat will come out of the East. I really have. It's a part gut feeling. But you have to see the pieces that they brought in. They brought in Mac Roberts. He's a good passing four. They have Luol Deng, who can defend and bring a solid option to the three. And you have two options that we really haven't seen in 2 years in Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade that really can score and be efficient offensively. And then another thing that a lot of people don't really notice, you have the point guards, Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole, who can create offensively, but haven't been able to.
I don't think that's a good thing.
I don't think
them being their point guards are a good thing. If Dwayne Wade can somehow go back in time and become 2007, 2008 Dwayne Wade, then maybe. I mean,
they had an inside option.
We'll see. Guys have had career resurgences before. If Dwayne Wade is able to do that and is able to be old Dwayne Wade, or maybe even 80 to 90% of old Dwayne Wade, then potentially they could contend in the East. I just don't see it. I like their team. I think Dwayne Wade, having watched him last year, I think he's done as a number one option in this league. And I love Chris Bosh. I think he's a great player, but I just don't think he has. I don't think he's the type of guy that can carry a team to an Eastern Conference title.
The thing about Wade, though, he doesn't clearly have to be the number one option. You got Chris Bosh, who can those low post looks. You got Chris Bosh, who has shown that he can stretch the floor and hit threes. And then with Chalmers and Norris Cole, who have shown that they can run that pick and roll. They don't do it often because with LeBron and D-Wade, you see their usage rate be a lot higher. But Norris Cole, in his limited minutes, has a very solid usage rate for a backup point guard. You got Mario Chalmers in there. So I really think offensively, with the shots dispersed evenly, like with Luol and D-Wade and Chris Bosh and Mario and Norris Cole, being able to have the ball in their hands, I really think they can be a solid top five team, and then they'll surprise some people in the playoffs.
They're a team that where it could go a lot of ways, but I think if you watch those NBA finals and you looked at LeBron being the only, it was like 2010 Eastern Conference semis all over again, where LeBron simply had no help. But if you watch that, you take LeBron away from there, I just don't see how that's a team that can come out of the East. My pick is Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the obvious one, and for a lot of reasons. Obviously LeBron Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, that speaks for itself. I love Deion Waiters. I've liked Deion Waiters as a player for a really long time. And I love him even more as a fourth scoring option. I think he's really going to have a big-time year this year. And I think his stock's going to go way up versus what it is, you know, the last few years where people kind of low on him. But he's going to be able to do what he does best, and that's just simply score, give effort on defense. Don't be a turnstile on defense. And, you know, he has an opportunity to have a really good year. They have shooters coming off the bench. I like they're not going to have a traditional big man in the, you know, traditional back-to-the-basket type guy, but Varejao is going to do all the little things, as is Tristan Thompson. I like Cleveland to win the East, and frankly, I don't think the Eastern Conference Finals will be all that close.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, Cleveland is the easy pick, but I think Miami, I think any team led by D-Wade, and especially considering LeBron leave, I really think that Heat team is going to be hungry, and I really think that's going to surprise a lot of people.
So you think Miami over Cleveland, I'm guessing?
Miami over Cleveland, Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cleveland over Washington.
Over Washington.
The revival of the old Cavaliers-Wizards rivalry. We'll go with that.
That'll be solid. No, back with Gilbert Arenas and
Deshaun Stevenson, LeBron rivalry. Wish we could bring him back. But Deshaun did get the last laugh on LeBron, actually, though. Those 2011 finals. Okay, the West, I got Oklahoma City. I think this is the year where, obviously, they went to the finals in 2012. But I think they do it again in 2015. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, these guys are getting up there in age now. They're playoff-tested team at this point. I think they break through. They're able to get past San Antonio, who's a year older. As much as you want to say, that's what people say every year, age is going to hit at some point. I think Oklahoma City is able to get by San Antonio and get to the NBA
finals. I think this year is the Clippers' year. I think with Chris Paul, like it's been in the hunt for like the last 5 years. He had his run in with David West and those guys. He got this bunch now with Blake and DeAndre. I think it's his time to finally make it to the finals. I think they'll take the Heat in the finals. The Clippers over Heat. That's my prediction.
Clippers over Heat is your pick. I'm going to go Thunder over Cavs. I think the Cavs Thunder over Cavs. I think the Cavs will get one at some point with LeBron James. 2-3 in the finals. LeBron's rep is going to take a huge hit if he goes to the finals and loses this year. Wow. I think LeBron's going to get 2 in Cleveland, 2-3. I don't think it'll be this year, though. I think Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, that big three, I think they finally break through. They've been playing together for a number of years now. I think they're able to do it this year and bring Oklahoma City its first NBA title for those spoiled fans in Oklahoma City who have known nothing but extreme success in the few short years that they've had that team. I think Oklahoma City wins the NBA Finals, and fans in Seattle cry. That's what I think. I think Oklahoma City does it. And I'm going to go with the Pistons. I'm going to give them the fifth seed. I'm going to do that. My seeding, I'll go Cleveland, Chicago, Washington, Charlotte, Detroit, 5. Yeah. Miami 6.
I got Detroit penciled in as a 7th seed. I think the Nets are the odd team out that we're in last year. Pretty much the same group, but minus the Nets out.
You got
Pistons in.
Indiana out of the playoffs, too. We talked about before that, or before the podcast, we talked about that, how we don't like Indiana at all.
Indiana replacing Lance Stevenson and Paul George with Rodney Stuckey, maybe the worst downgrade.
And CJ Miles at the 3.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I don't know how they score.
I don't.
So we got, just to go on the record, I got Oklahoma City.
I got the Clippers.
The LA Clippers finally getting one to put up next.
CP3's first ring.
CP3's first ring. It should be an interesting NBA season. Season starts next week. We are done here with the Hughes and Hill podcast. We will be back next week with another one. I'm David Hughes.
I'm Lawrence Hill.
And thank you for listening.